being Easter, guess what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about the resurrection. I know that's a big surprise. Well, it's one of those Sundays. You know, your topic's kind of picked for you. But I hope I can make you see it a little bit differently. What we want to talk about today is how nobody, not even Jesus' closest circle of friends and disciples, nobody really expected the resurrection.
Amen.
What's interesting is what they expected. Because they certainly didn't expect the resurrections. They were expecting something. And we can see from the scripture what they were expecting. And our message from that, there's certainly a lesson to take, to learn, oh, hey, that's what they were thinking. And so we've learned something we didn't know before. But there's a moral lesson to take from it. That what we expect affects our reality. Because what had happened was that Jesus was resurrected. What they experienced was something different because they didn't expect that. Nobody saw it coming, but they should have. Each of us kind of get caught in that same loop. I want to show you first a scripture from Mark chapter 8. And this is something that Jesus said. These are Jesus' words to his disciples when he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Be killed and rise after 3 days." So that's what Jesus told his disciples. But on the third day, when the tomb was found empty, they didn't look at each other and go, "Holy smokes, he meant it." That's not what they said. I mean, what happened was exactly what Jesus told them would happen. But when they discovered it happened, well, let's look at what happened. John chapter 20. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we don't know where they took him." That's what happened. Jesus said, "I'm going to be killed, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again." On the third day, Mary went there. He wasn't there. There's more to this story that we're going to read in a minute, and you're going to go, "Wow, this lady's dense." But, oh, wait till we read it. You're going to go, "You're kidding me." But for real, she goes back to the disciples, and from the time she went from the tomb to wherever the disciples were hiding, I don't know how far that was, but from the time she went, well, far, couldn't have been too far, right? She had decided that he wasn't resurrected. She had decided that he had been stolen. Because that's exactly what she says. They, or who they is, they have taken the Lord, and I don't know where they took it. The concept of resurrection, the concept of the promise that Jesus gave them, totally gone from their awareness. Now, so I'm going to interject a little bit. So she runs back to Peter and John, and Peter and John take off running, and they run back. Okay. And Mary kind of follows them, and they all get there. We're going to pick up in verse 11. Here's what happens. "Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and peeked in. And two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've taken him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but didn't recognize him. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have taken him out of here, tell me where you took him, and I'll take him. And he said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Master." And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. So that's the synopsis of what happens with Mary. All right? So, the story of Mary of Magdala begins in Mark 16, which we're not going to read. But as she's introduced in the text, she is possessed. And Jesus miraculously heals her, and she follows him from then on for the rest of his ministry. She stood by him as he was crucified. When all of the disciples, save one, were in hiding, she was there. You know, this Sunday morning, Mary of Magdala and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, came to the tomb to anoint the body, to finish the burial process that had begun 3 days before. Now, John, in this record, only focuses on Mary, maybe because she only had the speaking role or whatever, but I want to show you how there's more to the story of Mary than what we read here in John. I want to show you this same instance, but the telling of it from Matthew's perspective, as he gives a little more detail about what happened in this first incident where the stone is rolled away. It's in Matthew 28. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, so same morning, all right, Sunday morning, the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. See, this story is not told in the other text. It just says the stone was gone, that it was open. Well, here's how the door got open, right? In verse 3, talking about the angel, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel of the Lord answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. And then he tells them this, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Now, come and see the place where he was. And then the angel says, Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. What was the word they gave the disciples? They've stolen him, and we don't know where he is. So, the angel. So, let's just focus on the one Mary. Mary shows up. There's a rumble. What was that? Oh my gosh, look, the rock's gone, and the angel's on top of it. And the angel says, I know why you're here. He's not here. He's risen. He told you he was going to do that. Now go and get the disciples, and Jesus will catch up with you in Galilee. Just go get the disciples. Okay, and then in however long it takes her to get from there to where the disciples are. Now when the disciples get back, it's still dark, so it couldn't have been too far away. But from the time she left the cemetery to get to where the disciples were, she had totally convinced herself that the earthquake, the angel, and the message that Jesus was resurrected must have been her imagination. Because what she told the disciples was, they've stolen him. I don't know where they took him. We better go find out. And then they get back. Peter and John get back. There's some stuff that goes on there. And Mary finally gets back because I'm sure she's pretty gassed now because she's gone there, ran back, and now she's back again, right? So she finally gets there a little later. And remember this, she's already seen once because the angel said, come and see where the Lord lay. And here she is out there peeking in, remember? I'm going to see that one more time, make sure he's not there. And then now there's two angels because guess what? The one didn't get the job done. So now there's two angels. You know, and Mary's out there crying and weeping, and now it gets to the point Jesus has to appear to him, because that was not the plan. Jesus was going to catch up to him in Galilee. Their unbelief caused Jesus to show up and say, what's the deal? Why are you crying? What are you looking for? And she won't even turn to look at him. She's back to him. And she's like, well, I came to my Lord. I don't know where he is. Right? And finally, he's like, Mary. And she's like, well, you are. And he's like, yeah, but let's not get carried away. I got business to tend to. Right? Because that's what he's like. Don't be touching me. I got jobs to do. Right? Now, I know that all sounds silly, but that's exactly what we just read, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm telling you, she's dense. Expectation. She didn't expect him to be resurrected. She didn't believe it. For whatever reason, she didn't believe it. That's pretty easy one not to believe. Right? I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but I'm sure everybody had decided he was in a coma by this point. It's human nature, folks. Right? I mean, I've seen this in my life, where we go to the hospital to pray for somebody, or you go to the hospital to pray for somebody, and you pray for them because it's not the prayer that does the miracle. It's God who does, right? It doesn't matter who's praying. And God heals somebody.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God.
And you know what? For about 6 months, you know what we do? Man, God's amazing. He healed him, blah, 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 blah. And then that lasts 6 months, 3 months, 12, 15 weeks, whatever. And then we go, John, modern medicine is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
We take God right out of it. That Mary's not doing anything that we don't do. Don't blame the lady. Same stuff we do. We explain God out of it because it's easier. Faith is not an easy thing. I mean, that's just human nature. I mean, and imagine the emotional turmoil that she's in. I mean, this guy had delivered her from devil possession. This guy had, you know, the miracle of the fishes and the loaves. You know, she heard about him walking on water. She had seen the miracles. She had seen the teaching. She had seen these things, and now he's gone. She's a wreck. She wasn't thinking things through. It was emotional for her. You know, we let that happen with us. We come to an emotional place that, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. What am I going to do without this person in my life? What am I going to do with this problem? What am I going to do with this illness? And our emotional state takes away from our cognitive state of believing. But it wasn't Mary who brought herself back to a place of faith. It was Jesus that brought her back to a place of faith.
Amen.
Because he appeared to her and said what she needed to hear. Yeah. Sometimes that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes Jesus speaking to your heart. Amen. To restore you to a place of faith.
Amen.
But other times that's not what you need. Because let's look at what happened with Peter and John. I'm just going to tell you the story. So Peter and John are in the hideout. Because they were afraid. And Mary shows up and says, they've stolen him. You better go see this for yourself. Now it says that Peter and John ran. I'm going to step out from behind the pulpit because I'm going to give you a theory, not a verse on this. Okay? Because I don't believe that they ran because they believed. And I don't believe that they ran because they were excited. I believe that they ran because they needed to get there, do what they needed to do, and get back before the sun came up. Because if they got busted in public, guess what? They get crucified. That's why I think they ran. But regardless, they get there. John shows up and stops. For whatever reason, I don't know. Peter shows up a second or two later and busts through the door into the tomb, and there's the two angels who say, "Behold, look where the Lord lay." And Peter sees the wrapping that Jesus had been wrapped in. Not discarded, not thrown away, not taken off in any way, but laying there as though the Savior had passed through and it was just left blank. Amen. And Peter and John, in John's Gospel, John says that when Peter saw, he believed that the Lord had been resurrected. See, Peter didn't need Jesus to say, "Peter, it's me." That's what Mary needed. Mary needed the word to believe. Peter needed to experience it to believe. He needed to see it to believe. The lesson here isn't that Jesus will speak to you to make you believe. And the lesson here isn't that you can see the works of God and that'll make you believe. The lesson here is that Mary's emotional state caused her to not believe for whatever reason. And what she needed was to hear God's word. What she needed was to hear Jesus speak to her. And he did. The message here is that Peter and John didn't believe. They expected that the body had been stolen. But when they saw the work of God, they believed. Their preconceived expectations caused them to not believe what had happened to Jesus. So my question for you is this. What are your preconceived expectations of Jesus? What do you expect Christianity to be like? What do you expect Jesus to be like in your life? What do you expect God to do? And is that, are your expectations stopping you from seeing the real Christ in your life? Are your expectations of what you think God will do stopping you from experiencing what God is trying to do? Amen. Because, you know what, I'm going to tell you this. If what you expect from God and from Christ are the things that you have come to expect just because that's what people expect, you're probably wrong. Because what God and Christ is trying to do in me is different from what he's trying to do in you, which is different from what he's trying to do in you. God has a different purpose and a different mission for each of us. And we all try to fit into this pattern. And we do, and we expect something. And then over here, where God is really trying to work in your life, there's flashing lights and everything else, and we're like Mary. We got our back turned to it. Because that's not what we expected. Let God speak to you personally. I mean, maybe you're like Mary. Maybe you're hard to convince. Maybe you need God to speak to your heart for you to believe. And that's okay. He will. Maybe you're just headstrong and you need to experience it before you can believe. That's okay. You'll experience it. All you have to be is willing to see and willing to listen. God, through Christ, will speak to us where you are and will speak to us how you are. You don't need to be somebody different. You don't need to be anybody different. You don't even need to do anything different. You just need to be willing to listen and let God speak to your heart.
Amen.
Stand with me, please. I'm going to put my watch back on because I'm right on time. It's 12 o'clock. Would you like you all to recognize that that is once in a row?
Amen.
Oh, shit.
No.
No, I was making fun of myself.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I'm all for it.
All right. We're going to pause here just for a second, let the kids have a moment to come back in before we go through our communion service this morning. But just a couple of quick reminders while we're waiting for that. After the service in the fellowship hall in the back, we have a photo booth set up. So have some fun with that, and we'll take pictures and email them to you and all of that sort of stuff. Something I would ask you to do, though, is just take a moment to recognize that this will be it's a kind of a changing of the guard around here. This is Lori's last Sunday with us, and she's moving. And so you might want to drag her to the photo booth maybe and get pictures with her. But Lori, as we finish up communion today, I would ask you to go to the back door and just give everybody a chance to hug you and say goodbye on the way out, if you would be so kind, sweetheart. We'll sure miss you around here, babe.
Thank you.
I saw Laura.
Here they come. All right, let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once again for this day and for your word and for this time together. And Father, we would just ask once again that as we have gathered here on this special Sunday, when we have marked time to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, that you would just let that be living and real within us, that you would let us retain the word that we have heard today, that you would let us go forth from here, and let the life that we live be a witness to who you are in us. If you would all please repeat after me. Father God.
Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I confess.
That Jesus.
Is the Lord of my life.
Is the Lord of my life.
And I will live.
And I will live.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
According to God's standard.
According to God's standard.
I believe.
With
all of my heart.
With all of my heart.
And all of who I am.
And all of who I am.
That Jesus died. For my sins.
And that God
raised him from the dead. All right, in Passover week,